Okay. Wow. Hello, guys.
Wow. World. Back.
It's a world of wonder. It really is a WoW Presents production.
Without the WoW Presents paycheck. Which I'm sure isn't very much, but...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't know. I feel like some people are getting paid, but...
Some people.
Sometimes.
Didn't get a check. That's not us yet. That's not us yet.
Indeed, indeed. It's so good to see you all. How are we?
It is good to see us, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's always funny when we record first thing in the mornings because we have our that little morning energy. It's like three little boys coming down the stairs, like asking, you know, like, is mom up yet? Like, I don't even know what to do. That's sweet. It's a very sweet energy.
I love that energy.
It's been about a month since they've had a new full podcast episode. We had our Instagram Live. Mm-hmm. We've lived so many lives since then. So much has happened since Dorothy dropped in, as they say, over at the George Gershwin Theater.
I was going to say, where the hell did they say that at?
Yeah, that's the original...
sizzle slogan
for Wicked. So much happened since Dorothy dropped in. So much happened. So much happened before Dorothy dropped in. Yeah. But in our case, it's been since, because Dorothy definitely has dropped multiple times in our lives. We've been friends of Dorothy for decades.
Yeah.
Decades.
We've been under that house, bitch.
We have.
Correct. And I'm still here.
Another Broadway reference for all
yes.
you.
You know,
plebeians.
Correct. Are we old enough to start singing the great legend songs of musical theater? Like, are we old? Like, is I'm Still Here for someone in their 70s? You have to be like, you have to have lived many, many lives for that. I don't think we're quite old enough to really sing it without any irony. You know what I mean?
They wouldn't agree with that on TikTok. I'll tell you that much.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
Actually done that. What? Wait, what did you see, Johnny?
No, I was just going to say, they'd be like, get this old 30 something out of here, and you're like, oh my god.
That's true. It's true. Yeah.
Comment
on TikTok, I'm already an octogenarian for sure.
I never remember being mean to older people when I was like in my 20s. I didn't think about older people.
I didn't when I was in my 20s. I didn't go out of my way to be mean to older people.
They didn't even cross my mind.
No, I've always loved older people. I've always actually been attracted to older people. When I was in shows, just growing up, I've always made friends with like your parents, your friend's parent. Like, I've literally only ever liked being with older people because they're the ones I felt the most comfortable with. And they had a lot of information. And you like always learn something from them, you know?
Yeah.
Here's what I'd say. Like, I've always been a person who appreciates youth. And I've always been somewhat ageist, I will, because of just how I grew up and the way that my grandmother used to talk about age really informed how I feel about age. But I will say that when I was in my 20s, I definitely have always criticized older people for not being open-minded. That is always something that I've done. But I didn't have any kind of deep vitriol for older people that you can kind of sense now. Mm. You know, that like Rene Rapp, I wear ageism as a, like a badge of honor. Like, yeah. I wear that and this is no shade, sorry, to this lady. I think that she speaks about ageism without quite enough nuance to really feel like she's actually in on it, like when she made that comment. But yeah, you do see that, how I feel oddly out of place on TikTok sometimes because of my age, but then there's so many millennials and older people there too. Like, we are there. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you know, millennials are a big part of the world of the app. Don't
yeah,
you think?
And there are some young people, there are some Gen Zers who love millennial energy. Like Kiki said, she's like, we gotta let people, we don't need everybody to be cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we don't need everybody to be cool. Yes, yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't need everyone with like a Jay-Z. Like, we don't need that. Let the millennials stay millennial, because there's a Gen Zer who's probably like, yo, I learn a lot from that millennial. I love what they say. Do you follow that millennial? You know what I mean? And yeah. I don't actually think no one speaks like that.
Nobody's speaking like that.
You know what I mean?
That's how the millennial would write it in the TV show of Gen Zers, though.
It would be, wait, say it.
How you just said that, you know, the Gen Z are talking about, I like this millennial, I'm learning something from this. That is how they would write it in the TV show about the Gen Z generation.
That's exactly right. But you see, I love, much like our, and we're going to get to her, much like our 47th, soon to be 47th president, Kamala Harris.
Beep, 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 beep.
I love Gen Z. I love when she says that. She goes, I love Gen Z. I love Gen Z. I do love Gen Z. I really love do. It. They don't love me as much as I love them, but I think some of them do love me. I think some of them do. But yeah, I love them. I wish they loved us as much as we love them. I think that millennials kind of thought...
And well, I love them for loving me, and they love me for loving them.
That's because none of us got enough love in our childhood. That's a third musical reference in under 10 minutes. Crazy. Y'all better. I hope you had your Broadway Wheaties.
This is not Joe Rogan, I'll tell you that.
No, it is not. It is definitely not.
This is Ho Rogan.
Ooh, yes. Ho Rogan.
Indeed. Where was I? We were talking about
coconut tree,
millennial brain, cocoa nut trees. I'm always talking about cocoa nut trees.
No, coconut tree.
Oh, coconut trees. Yes. Well, is it time? Is it time to celebrate the biggest thing that has changed since we last met?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joseph R. Biden, President Joseph R. Biden, as if you did not know, he is staying home this November. He will not be seeking re-election, and his vice president Kamala Harris steps forward onto zero, honey. Downstage center, all lights are on her. The ensemble has parted so that she can enter through the center and take her place at the center of the stage. Kamala Harris is now officially in the running to be the 47th president of the United States. Can you believe it?
America's next top model. Yes.
Where were you when you found out that Joe Biden had dropped out of the race? And how did you feel?
I was at the gym. I was at the gym, and I was texting a friend of mine because a gym crush was in front of me, and I sent him like the melty face, and this friend responded, and he goes, he was like, Biden? Question mark. And I was like, oh, no. And I just was like, no. And I go, you know. And then he goes, oh, LOL. And he goes, how does he look? Like, and then we just like jumped right in it because we know exactly who we were talking about. And then, of course, I looked it up and I read the letter. And, you know, it was like, I mean, I texted you guys. I thought the letter was so well written, and I just went on with my day. It didn't really crazy, like, shake me to my core. I think it's because I expected it too.
I was on Philip's bed, and I was just on my phone, and I saw a little drop down the little screen, and I was like and I like got scared because I'd been sent the article a couple times, but when you open it up, it was always the man's penis. So I was like,
yes.
I was like, not again.
Like a dead link. Exactly.
Yeah, but I clicked it, and it was like, you know, I don't know if it was like AP News or whatever, but yeah, I ran out. I was like, it was funny because it was like, was it a week before that? At the same time, Philip's grandmother came out of the room and was like, they shot him. They shot him. Someone shot at him. And we're like, what? What? And they're like, Trump. She's like, Trump. And I was like, wow, I really just find out news at Philip's house. So
wow.
Yeah. And wow. Then, you know, we turned on the news and we were all just giving our, you know, I just felt invigorated right away.
Mm. I will say that is something we're not doing. We are not at the age yet. I don't know that I will ever be. You're just never going to have like news playing in my house. If you want to be sad or if you want to be depressed or you just want to have like, you just want to turn into that old person who's just like that's their soap opera. Like, no, that's never going to be me. If I'm not watching Real Housewives, I'm definitely not watching real news. I'll read it or I'll have one of you two send it to me via Twitter.
Yeah, no, I love the news. I'll always have, I come from a broadcast legacy television home and I just love, yes, I love watching it.
Yes,
I like watching it. I do watch it less than I used to. I do have it on by default less than I used to.
Well, because it's not as good as it used to be. I'm just going to say that.
Well, yeah. And you know, when I was working full time at CBS, CBS News, then definitely I had the television on all the time because I was always trying to, I had to, right? But I am a news, like have, especially when during an election year, especially during this time, I feel like I've had Fox, CNN, MSNBC kind of like quietly playing on my phone.
CNN.
MSNBC. Yes. Because I have YouTube TV, which kind of allows you to, it kind of allows you to simulate cable on your phone. You know, it's like just wherever. So I just kind of have it playing. But for this news, even though it was, I knew it was maybe going to happen. You know, there had been the, on Friday, the New York Times reported that Biden said that he was going to be back on the campaign trail next week. And so I thought, oh, he's digging his heels in. And I spoke to my mom and she said something really smart. She goes, he said he'd be back on the campaign trail.
Period.
Not that he'd be still running for president.
That right there is why that woman gets paid the big bucks.
And I was like, okay. That was Friday. And so I was waiting for the man. I went to Connecticut on Sunday to go see one of my best friends, Stephen Petrovich, in a production of Mary Poppins. He was playing Bert.
It was
so wonderful and sweet. It was lovely. He was terrific. He's really, really tall and he kind of looks like a mix between Tommy Toon and Dick Van Dyke. He's a happy tall person, with these long arms. You know when like you're when someone plays a role and they can kind of invoke, like summon the person, it's beyond an impersonation because it wasn't an impersonation, but it's just there's something that our brain sees that's similar to the original and it's just joyful. It's kind of like when Chad Michaels is Cher. It's like beyond an impersonation. It's like an energetic seance that's being brought to the stage. So he was wonderful and I loved it. He was fantastic. So it happened, dropped at like 1:55, you know, and the show was about to start.
Ooh, and love when that happens.
It's filled with children. I looked down at my phone and I read it and I started to cry.
Oh.
I immediately started to cry. Because I have been so vocal about Biden stepping down and stepping aside because I think it's the best. I think it was the best decision. But before then, I was so clear in what I thought was the right move to make. It's a risk, but it's a risk we've got to take, right? And I read the letter and then it kind of sunk in that it's real. And that even though it's like Glinda says, wicked, you know, because getting your dreams, it's strange, but it seems, well, a little bit complicated. Like, yes, it's what I wanted, but I know how much it hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
I know how difficult that decision was for the man, for the legacy of Senator Joseph Biden, who dreamt of being president, who ran so many times, who has done who has been diligent in his duties in public office for his entire life. And it made me emotional. It makes me emotional now because it's duty with a capital D. It's responsibility. It's honor. all the things that we'd hope a politician carries through their career. And it's this act of selflessness, because let's say that even if he doesn't really believe it, right, that he even if he, deep down, he really thinks he could do it again, mm-hmm. he still made the choice to do it. And I just saw the man kind of embraced by his, I imagined him being embraced by his family and sitting in the truth of what this is.
It's a lot.
They don't want me.
But it's like, that's the thing. It's not that we don't want him. It's not that we don't want him. We just don't want him the way he is. We just,
correct.
We have moved. But, it's like when you see that old person driving on the street and you think they should not be driving. They should not be driving. They're going to get hurt. They're going to get hurt, and they're going to hurt other people. And that's what I felt like. She was driving the car a little too long, and you know, she listened to the beeps around her and said, let me pull over and get a driver.
You know, in like 10 years, or however long when Democrats have ruled forever or whatever, and there's just like time to have that documentary, I want to talk to the people on his staff. And I want, you know, my questions are, investigator, detective over here. I'm like, I want to know, like, before he went on stage for the debate, like, how did he seem? Was it really kind of out of nowhere? Did it seem like something was off in the way that like he was literally showing up to the stage? Like, you know, those kind of things. Like, did you have an idea that this possibly could happen, or was it just as a surprise to you as it was to us? Obviously, because we're seeing it for the first time. Like, that kind of stuff always fascinates me, because you're so close to it, being on his team. You know.
Those people.
I don't think you're ever going to get a good answer to that.
Those people knew. I'll tell you right now.
And you're never going to get an answer to that, because then someone's going to have to take responsibility.
Exactly. But those people knew, and that nobody ever wants. That's the problem with politics, is that no one ever wants to take responsibility for Weekend at Bernie-ing it.
You see, know? But I don't think it was that extreme. Right. I don't. I really don't.
No, I'm not.
I don't think he's not vegetative. He's not catatonic.
No, of course,
He's an octogenarian.
And you know, too showing old the to signs be the commander in chief.
Correct, and that's fine. But there are other 80-year-olds who could do it.
Right.
Donald Trump, for example. Clear as a bell.
Is he?
Say what you want.
Did you watch
He's the same way. When he was 50, he was like he is now. That's Donald Trump. Whether you don't like the way his brain works.
Correct.
You don't like what he says. He's a liar. He's a this. He's a that. I don't see signs of the same kind of degenerative mental capacities as President Biden.
Yeah. And it's just, they're both.
They're old. But
exactly. But old is different on both of them.
Correct.
Yeah.
President Trump is not confusing the names of Kamala Harris and his rival, you know, the way that Biden did, by saying, I chose Vice President Trump, you know, those kinds. He doesn't make those kinds of.
Did call J.D. Vance J.P. Mandel. So. You know what I mean?
I mean,
he wouldn't have made that same mistake at 60. He probably would have, because he doesn't care about anyone but himself.
It's about his brain.
It's just one of those things where I'm like, when I see 80-something-year-old people at a restaurant, I'm like, I mean, what a life lived. Now they can just relax. I don't want them making decisions on our country. I really just don't. And when I'm 80 years old, you will not see me trying to be anything other than in a blanket.
Yeah, and fundraising. If I have the capability, fundraising and enjoying. You know, my friend, capability. One of my dear best friends, Corey Stewart, he said something so funny. He goes, a year from now, Joseph R. Biden is going to be on a Beyonce super yacht, enjoying Labor Day. Uh-huh. He's going to have Tina Knowles over here, Jay-Z. Celine Dion is going to be there, stiff as a board. The whole crew is going to be there, hanging out and enjoying themselves in Saint-Tropez. That is absolutely what's going to be happening. He is going to be able to enjoy the rest. He's going to have an Obama moment where, like, you know, He shows up anywhere in a polo shirt, and it's like, did you see Joseph R. Biden reinventing fashion with his navy polo at the Waldorf Astoria in Paris? He's going to be enjoying himself, and he should be. His wife is young. Her tits are still up to here. They should enjoy the rest of their lives together and enjoy his beautiful family. And what he has done for this country and the debt that we owe him for public service will be paid in full. Mm. And he'll get to enjoy himself.
Here, here.
He's
Hunter Biden.
Yeah. Honey. Now that boy right there.
Bumps with Biden.
Beautiful boy.
He's going to have to write his own letters.
I'm done.
He's going to have to write his own letters. Yeah, but he should enjoy himself and all those beautiful grandkids, you know? Yeah. And I think this conversation about age, this has been a revelatory time in the American conversation about how we feel about aging. And that it started with the smallest, most superficial things like TikTok and the millennial Gen Z, the millennial boomer conflict. This has all been bubbling over for a long time. And now we're really seeing it as a part of the manifest destiny of the United States of America.org and like what that really means. And I think that moving forward, we're not going to even try, you know, I think this is the end of this kind of octogenarian candidate.
It definitely feels very, very exciting and a little like I was watching Kamala's speech to her staff or whatever, and she's like, and I will win, and they go crazy, and she gives a great speech, and I had this what I was feeling while watching was, wow, this feels odd because it feels like a movie, it feels like I'm watching Veep, it doesn't feel so real because it's so new that we have fresh energy, and like she is so just like young and there's a vitality to her that kind of, to your point, I was like, oh wow, we're not used to this in this capacity in real life, and that's very exciting.
I think what needs to happen for in my non-professional opinion is we need to start treating the president as if he's the coach of the team. We need to stop treating the president as if he's the star of the Broadway show. The coach is the one that fills the team up with the idea that they can, that they will, and that they should. And you don't revere the coach as if they're the only one that can do this for us. The coach is the one that guides us through, because the coach has been through the whole game for his whole life. And so you listen to the coach because the coach has been there, but the coach is not the team. The coach allows the team to shine and brings up players, the quarterback, the, you know, whatever game you want to play, and lets them shine so that he's still shining, but the team as a whole is the one that's taking us to the fucking Super Bowl. You know what I mean?
But that kind of is the Biden presidency. He is the coach. We're assembling the team.
I just mean politics in general, because it is very much, because there's such an emphasis on the president that a lot of the other seats in the team are not paid too close attention to. So it's over every 4 years that people are like up in arms, like, but they have elections all year round every year. You know what I mean? So I think what I mean by that is having a coach that puts an emphasis on the team, like Biden has done
down ballot house races, you mean, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was always a big criticism of President Barack Obama, that he was very, focused on his own reelection and on Washington, D.C. with a capital W and like the White House, versus really getting into the weeds with the congressional races. Who's to say if it could have changed anything, you know, when those races were happening when he was president? But that was a criticism. And I think you're right. I think that it is about making sure that the president is there to serve the country by strengthening the party. Whatever their party is. Whatever their party is. Exactly. Right? And say what you want about Donald Trump. He has worked hard on behalf of the down ballot candidates. I mean, he's put them through hell. He has put some of these people through hell, like Governor Ron DeSantis and, you know, all these down ballot candidates. But there is something unifying in that I think Democrats could really stand to benefit from.
Yeah, Donald Trump reminds me of like a middle school or high school drama teacher where it's like, kiss the ring and you'll get the part. You know what I mean? Like, there's like favoritism being played, and, you know, one slight move is just going to get you in, you know.
In the ensemble, baby.
Not even. Backstage, bitch.
Backstage, spotlight. Yeah, yes, exactly. Or you're the prop mistrix.
Beautiful prop mistrix.
But yes, thing. But you know, listen, I think that I hope that young people get in line and that we are all, I you know, we were talking about Wicked's slogan, so much happened before Dorothy dropped in. Mm. I think that Kamala Harris's should just be Kamala Harris, ready to fall. We are all ready to fall out of her coconut tree, honey. We are ready. The country is ready. And I hope that young people are. And I think
we are existing in the context, darling.
We have to. We have no other choice because I have been so burdened and I am ready to be completely unburdened by what has been. Mm-hmm, and what will be.
Yes. That's a bit, right know? Before you take a Molly at a music festival, you're like, I'm ready to be unburdened by what has been.
I have to say, there's something, so, you know, here's the thing, Kamala, say what you want. I think I find her laugh to be so infectious.
Yeah.
I know, you know, people find it unserious, but to me, I think it is so hilarious. You know, I think I shared it with you. My favorite clip is the interview. You know, there's a supercut of all the Kamala laughing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just laughing. There's the one where she's with the lady who looks a lot like her, which is her sister. And they're
the lady laughing. That looks a lot like her. I love that.
It's her sister.
They laugh because in the supercut video, you don't know who it is. And she's just, they kind of go forward and they kind of lean the same way, very much like with the fracking. Like they both are the same way. Yeah. So when you watch the full clip, you get a sense of like what a little jokester she is. Mm-hmm. Because in the quote, they're talking about all the things that they talk about her sister saying how when she became the attorney general, they call her General Harris. And she's like, yeah, you know, so I call her General Harris. And then Kamala says, you know, but they had a little laugh about that. And she goes, you know, but to me, you're really just your big sister. And she goes, and then you see her like get ready to like about to tell a punchline. That little mischievous, like, and she goes, big sister Harris.
No, she said big sister general.
Big sister general. That's right. Big sister general, which is hilarious.
And then they both cackle.
So cute.
Yeah.
But you know, I was going to say, I am one of those people who, when I watched the speech today or like the thing she was talking to her staff, I did have a moment of like, if I was directing her, I'd be like, don't laugh at everything. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see if you can give me a little bit like, be this, you know, like restrain a little bit of that, of the laugh moment. but I think it's just because I'm always giving a note, but I love her. I think hearing both of you love her will make me love that laugh more.
Yeah, maybe.
And I want to invite the audience in when and this is not towards you, Ian, because I definitely know that you know this, but like I want everyone to battle their inner misogyny, their inner racism, their inner idea of what this woman should look like, sound like, appear like, because it all plays into why we haven't had a Kamala Harris as president yet. You know what I mean? Like, even when she first announced that she was running and everyone's like, well, it's not going to happen, guys, because she's black and it's like, well, of course, if you keep thinking that way, we'll never get there, but we have to break out of that. And it's really a lot of times it's self-imposed because it's what we've been taught. So, and look at who she's going up against. She's going up against a freaking, not even a Disney villain. He's a Cartoon Network, last of the night, villain. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, it's like in recent weeks when people were saying, oh, it's not possible. There's not enough time to choose a nominee. We can't do it. I said, what if he died? Ooh. What if he died? If he died tomorrow, would we find someone else, or would we just leave? It's not enough time. What if he died? Right. If he died, would we find someone? Yes. If Kamala died tomorrow, would someone become the vice president? Yes. This is all possible. Mm-hmm. These things are possible. Yeah. Just imagine the worst case scenario and
we need to take a shot every time there's a musical reference.
Reference it's today. Crazy. Exactly.
If you're listening,
that's
you're
my favorite one so far.
Yes. Yes.
Juan, I love how impassioned you just got. Like, just keep going. Yes, go back to it. And also
the fact that there has already been the chatter of people who don't know anything about politics. I know a lot about politics. I've covered politics. I covered the 2020 election. I covered Kamala Harris as a candidate. I helped produce pieces about Kamala Harris as a candidate when she actually didn't have the best presidential race of all time, but it wasn't the best campaign. But I have already seen the chatter among people saying, what did she even do as vice president? She's been around. Who even knows? What do you know about anything? Who was the last vice president? Do you know their name? Who is the current speaker of the House? Do you know his name? Do you know? Do you, Diane? People are talking about politics as if they know anything about politics.
You don't compare where you don't compete.
Correct.
Ooh, no, I like that. Listen, an idiom I've never heard before. Wow, look at that.
they're a dime a dozen here. No, but I'll speak specifically to this track record business of her as vice president. Just because you didn't read about what she accomplished as vice president, didn't mean she didn't do anything.
Say that.
As vice president. To know what Kamala Harris did as vice president, you'd have to really be paying attention. But by the way, that's not just Kamala Harris as vice president. That's Mike Pence as vice president. That goes back to generations of the vice president. The vice president is very the tropes in Veep exist because that's how the vice presidential role has existed. It's imitating life. Mm-hmm. Vice presidents for a long time have been sidelined and seemingly do nothing because the president is the star of the show.
Right.
The president is the star of the show. Kamala Harris has done plenty. You just need to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a good redux, all of her work for gun reform, there's a lot. It's too weedsy to get into on a podcast called Tres Leches. It's easy for you to find that out. And until you've done so, don't talk about her lack of accomplishments as vice president, especially if you don't know about the role of the vice president and historically how he has performed before Kamala Harris and now she as the first female vice president. So yes, you just got to know about that. It's exhausting because it's showing brain rot.
Yeah. Selena Meyer didn't just fall out of a coconut tree.
Correct.
She exists in the context.
Yes. And lastly, of everything. Yes, exactly. Selena is so contextual. And the last thing I'll say about Kamala is already there is the rhetoric about what her role as being a cop when she was a district attorney and ACAB and using the rhetoric of 2020 and Black Lives Matter against Kamala Harris for having been a prosecutor. All of that, there are points to be made, although there's a lot of misinformation. For example, there's a lot of misinformation about Kamala Harris having had the highest arrest due to marijuana, highest rate of marijuana arrests, which is factually inaccurate. Arrests were down under Kamala Harris, but I'm not here to relitigate her past. That is a part of her story. And what you need to remember is the greater good. The greater good is Kamala Harris as president because of what she can protect, because of the people that she can protect as president. And you are right. There are stains on her record, but they do, the stains are not as dark as the blood that ran on January 6th. The stains are not as dark as the horrendous track record of human rights violations that happened under President Trump as president and will happen again, and many more than have already happened. And that is, you have to think about the greater good. If you don't love Kamala, okay, fine. But don't have, it's, this is not the time for a protest lack of vote. Because there are people that need Kamala Harris in office to get healthcare, to be able to afford to live in the United States of America, and to have the rights so that they don't feel like their lives are in danger every day. There are many marginalized communities that need Kamala Harris as president. So I just think that's important to say and be said. Sorry, yes, sorry to be long-winded.
And say that. And that is from our representative from the New York District, 37
Juan Torres-Falcon. Thank you so much, Juan.
And before we go, I just want to Sesame Street this for a second because I used to get Kamala's name wrong. And I just wanted to provide a visual aid for those who still get it wrong. It is Kamala. 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 If you have to think about it in your head, it's a Kamala. Kamala. And I got that from my dear friend Christopher Maldarella on his Instagram story. One of the great minds.
I love that. One of the great minds.
And faces. Oh, Lord.
Has he written a book? Have I read any?
He should.
Stuff?
I mean, he should write a book. The things I've seen alone is a good chapter.
It'll be the follow-up to Kevin Aucoin's book, The Book of Beauty. All faces.
Speaking of books, have you guys been booking any dates lately?
Oh.
You know, because if Trump wins, they might be the last ones we get to go on before we start having it.
So, correct wives. Now, everyone.
It's like my favorite meme, and then we'll go to commercial. My favorite tweet that I've seen was someone said, "You all are going to really vote for a black woman who's married to a white man?" Mm-hmm. And someone said,
"Or would you rather be a black woman with a white owner?"
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Period. Yeah. Dark.
Wow. When you were there, when we come back, let's take a break. Let's because we've had a very exciting and political first half hour. When we come back, we're gonna talk. What else? First dates.
First dates.
Yeah. First date style, dating style, I guess. And
okay. A pivot.
Hold on, I have to pee. I'm dying.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I guess God. I'll go pee too.
Do something to entertain them while we're gone. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. To 14D, la da da ya dum dum, la da dum, la da da da, la da da da, da da da, di di di, da da da, la da da da, and we all lose our charm in the end. But square cut or pear shaped. These rocks won't lose their shape. Diamond or a girl's best friend. Tiffany's.
How's the apartment?
It's good. It's great. It's so nice. It feels so good to have.
My future is unlimited.
Johnny, Juan just asked how my apartment was doing, blah blah, and I was just gonna go on a little. It feels so nice. I'm very very thankful for the time away, the travel, the 2 weeks, the P-town into, or actually more than that, 3 weeks, like. P-town into LA, because you come back and you appreciate what you have, Mm-hmm. You know, you open your drawers. you open your drawers. You open your drawers and you see like all these things you own, and it's just this kind of nice that you have this place that's yours. Because sometimes, while I do love, or while I think I have, is it wanderlust? I also love my home, and I love coming back to a place where. That I've made that's like, you know, that feels homey. It's not even just that it's mine, but that when I come in, it's feels like a warm hug, you know? And first thing I did when I got here was like deep clean the shit out of this apartment. Just because I was like, all feeling refreshed about it. And that always feels good. And my plants survived, so that's nice. Had some friends come and take good care of them. But
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, but you know, overall it was very important for me to go do that travel, because I did go on first dates. I went on a couple first dates actually in Los Angeles.
And I know, that's right.
They were really interesting. One of them, we're just going to kind of speed through because I don't need to go into the
detail
minutiae, yeah, of it all, but one of them left me. Is it, can you say like left me unread? I just like the way that sounds, but
on read. They left me on read.
On read.
Because they read it, they left you on read.
Work. Okay, so it does work. I just didn't know it was on. It's. I thought it was like monkey hatchet. Why have I thought she's been saying monkey hatchet the whole time? You know?
That's so, an Ellen DeGeneres joke, everyone.
Yes, he's thank
still
you.
Still here.
Yeah.
She's trying it. She's been trying it.
Does he have it? Why have I been thinking she's been saying monkey hatchet? So I was left on red. And it was very bizarre because, like, I would say for the first 24 hours, it just seemed confusing. And obviously, your ego kind of was like, huh? Because the date went so well and there was such a buildup to it. But then I tried to follow up with like, let's hang out again or this or that, or like, what are you doing this time? And then like, wasn't getting direct confirmation or answers. And so I on purpose was like, I'm going to do the thing and not pussyfoot around this. And so I was like, oh, thanks for letting me know your plans. What does that mean about you and me hanging out? Like, I literally was like, just because by that point I had kind of been fed up. And I thought, well, I'm giving you the opportunity to also just kind of meet me and say, no, we can't hang out today, or like, but, or just like something. And then he never responded to that. So it was for me, it's less like, it has less to do with me. I'm not like, whoa, oh my God, was it my nails? Was he like, maybe we were at dinner and he was like, his nails are too long and maybe that stayed with him too much. Who knows? I don't fucking know. But it tells me, it's more about like, that you as a person now know that I know you did this and I'm going to talk about it on my podcast.
Okay. So wait, give me a little bit more context here.
Okay. So
don't let me fall out of the coconut tree. Before, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Coconut fell.
So
you went on the date.
So yes, there was a bit of a buildup. And by that, I mean, I was at a pride party. And I'm going to try and do this without the way I don't usually do this, which is like, so I'm not saying names, but I met someone who was like, we've met before. And I was like, oh my God, perfect example. Like, you are coming a call back to, this is what you should do if someone says we've met before. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh my God, no way. He's like, yeah, at Nyam's birthday. And I was like, oh, okay. But then I was like, wait, you weren't at that birthday dinner. And then I literally like 20 minutes later walked up to him. And I was like, I don't believe you. Like, I don't think we met. Like, I was being funny because he's a jokey person. And then he was like, bitch, we did meet, blah, 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 blah. And I remember because my best friend was like talking to you and liked you, but you didn't seem like you liked him. And so I remembered because we had that conversation and he like reached out to you the next day and like you never responded. And then I was like, okay, so you're dragging me right now / show me the picture of this person. Maybe that will jumpstart my memory. And then he showed me a picture and I was like, okay, that person can ask me out on a date again. I'm so confused. I don't know how I missed that, blah, blah, blah. And so it was like, you know, LOL. Oh, you're talking about that birthday. Ha ha. Okay. I think I remember now. And then I was like, I'm going to P-Town. He's like, oh my God, he's going to be in P-Town. He's literally going today. And so there was this like
Who's going? I'm confused.
The man that ghosted him. The man that ghosted him eventually was the man that he did not respond to in the beginning. He did not know who this man was until he just saw a picture of him at this party and said,
"Got it, by his friend."
Right.
Got it. Yes. Now I'm with it.
So friend is like, oh my God, it's Kismet. You guys will have a week in P-Town. And I was like, you're right, actually. And I was actually excited because he was so cute. Mm. And I thought, damn, how did I miss this? Whatever. And
she said was, like, so, he's dead. Well. And
check the trunk. Check the closets.
I killed Liz. I killed Teen Dream. Deal with it.
Yeah, my God, I haven't seen it in a long time.
Oh my God, Jawbreaker, one of the best movies ever made. Anyway, so then we obviously saw each other in P-Town, and we had this moment of like, hi. And, you know, he was like, I was told and texted and this and that. So like, we knew we were going to see each other, and then we had like fun time seeing each other there, and like it was giving one time at T very like. It looked like he was looking for something or someone, and he was kind of being bombarded by like a lot of people all of a sudden one day. And I just was like, oh, I'm gonna step away for a second.
So hard.
I could just tell. Well, it was interesting because you know who you're gonna bleep this out, but was all over him.
I have to take a note of what that is. What time this is? 56:44.
Yeah, she'd be like, you bleeping this out, and Juan's at home fucking looking for the name.
Anyway, and so I just was like, oh, like she's having a moment attention wise and I was just like, I'm not going over there. But then it did look like they were doing, so look at me, this is what, so if I'm talking to this person and this person is coming at me, blah blah, blah, it felt like I saw this a lot. It was like uh-huh and then like this. Mm-hmm. And so then the tide, you know, people moved away and I went up to him and he like turned around and he like knew it was me. And I was like, oh, I was like, hi. He was like, hi, where have you been? And I was like, I don't know. You were bombarded. So I thought I would just like let you in, you know, have all that. He was like, yeah, I don't know what is happening right now. And I was like, were you looking for me? And he goes, I was. And that moment was so like, I love when people meet me at my Nora Ephron. Do you know what I mean? Were you looking for me? I was actually. Where were you? Do you know what I mean? And then like that, I love that. So you can imagine how with that and having a nice dinner in LA, and I'm talking like I was shocked at how much I was enjoying talking to him. Like we were, it just, he's so sweet and like, anyway, he's really, really sweet. And I was just kind of like.
She starts crying.
Yeah, I was just a little, you know, like it was, but mm-hmm. I compartmentalized it and I put it away in a little box and I'll use it on my next film.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, Johnny, you can always ask me a question. Now, whether or not I give you the answer you require.
I love when she's pre-defensive before I even say anything.
Yeah.
I would have been like that to anyone.
Talk about
actually.
That in the therapy. Now I forgot my question. Okay.
You can. Yeah, were he's, you. He's, listen, he's about to unburden you.
Were you.
So be prepared.
Throughout the tenure of this flirtation, were you visualizing and romanticizing a sort of future with this person and what that would look like?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Is that bad?
No. I think it just makes the what happens after that much harder and also that much more confusing, because when you're met with not only the good time that you've had in person, but what you have been building, what you don't realize your subconscious is building for this person, when this person isn't available or doesn't show as much interest, it feels even more so like a slight, because not only have we built up this idea of what this person could be and is really, because you still don't know him, you know, but also because that compacted with the good time you did had, it feels more like what in the hell just happened?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You know? There's, yeah.
Yeah. And it also feels like because you had the interaction in P-Town, you were in LA, then, in, right? You saw him.
P-Town, then
P-Town,
LA.
P-Town, and then LA. Sorry, the other way around. P-Town, and then Los Angeles. You had like.
She needs the dramaturge.
It had different sets.
Yeah, exactly. Dramaturgy.
She's like, where's the script?
Where's the script?
Exactly. But yes.
But also, yeah. Because of the way it started, where you're like, bitch, I didn't even see your message, bitch. And now you're acting like you don't see my message, bitch. How fucking dare you, girl? It's giving that a little bit too.
You know, I hadn't, but now you're fueling me. You're like, yeah, it is giving that a little bit now. But in the moment, I truly was so in, like, I was looking out of my third eye. My chakras were all aligned. That's a little bit more Ellen DeGeneres for you. And I was just like in this place where it didn't bother me as much. And I think that also had to do with the fact that I
had other
knew
dates.
I had, correct, I had other dates. And I was just like, this is not, this period. One isn't it. But to what you're saying, like, I think was the biggest surprise was like, wow, like I, or this like a little bit of a disappointment, nothing crazy, was that I did enjoy the date with him so much. Because I can be, you know, I can be a little like, you know when you feel it and you know when you don't, you know? Yeah. And I was feeling it and I thought we were feeling it. But then Johnny and Juan and I had a conversation privately and we were talking about this and Johnny was like,
don't do it. Don't
I won't.
You dare. Don't
I
do
won't.
It.
I won't. But keep then it, that, I will. But then that reminded me. Juan, we need the script. Can we get the script for Juan for when we spoke 3 days ago?
Say.
It was after Instagram Live. But then you reminded me about that, and that was something that I don't know that I would have had the constitution. And I'm a good teacher. I can teach you to dance. I could probably teach you to sing Celine Dion, not in her key, but we could get you that recipe. But this thing, I don't know that I could teach. So,
what?
Juan, okay. I need so you to make a.
Johnny
I need you to make a note
Johnny,
of the time.
Correct.
Juan, yeah. I need you to make a.
What
she's not bringing me down with this
ship.
She's not
bringing. I was gonna say.
I'm not going down with this ship, honey.
Because technically, I wasn't the one who brought it up. You were the one who reminded me
in private.
But reminded you of what?
That he's not a good kisser.
Oh, yeah.
Or that his kissing style was not my style.
Mm. Uh-huh.
There was no style. But anyway.
Right. No Taylor Swift style.
Yeah, I don't want to belabor. I feel like I'm always just talking about my dating because it's kind of – I know it is at the forefront.
Carrie Bradshaw. It's okay.
It is Carrie Bradshaw moment right now.
Okay, but
sure.
I have a question.
Yes.
A few weeks ago, we talked about a change that you had in dating styles where you're going to be more upfront with men and kind of warn them about how you can be after first dates,
how
I'll summarize it for you. Tell me if I'm summarizing it poorly. You said that
he will,
you said that you are going to go on first dates and kind of give a disclaimer of sorts, a milepost of warning the person that you were on a date with that perhaps, you know, your communication style can be somewhat avoidant right after a date. And it's not really an indication of how you feel about the person. It's just kind of, you know, maybe
it's
how
you
are, you are sussing it out in your head. And it's just a matter of, I'm just working through this. I don't want to put too much pressure on things. I just want you to be aware that that might happen. Did you do that on these dates or no?
I didn't. On these dates, I did not do that. I did not do that. I think after our conversation that was very, very nutritious and helpful to hear, I tried it out. And while I enjoyed kind of like, oh, like what does it feel like
to step into
that person who could do that? These other dates, I think, had a lot more of an organic feel to them because
Got
we
it.
Had all met and, you know,
how fun.
Yeah, exactly. It was very, very that. And so, yeah, I didn't do that. And, you know, I actually found myself in a position where I really enjoyed all I'm counting.
Work.
Like the three or four dates. Wow. Like really, really enjoyed.
How fun. I mean,
and
that is dating, honey. Three or four dates. That is what dating.
And you know, I shared this with my best friend Joey, who
it can be at least,
who is always like just gets me when I can hold space for both of these mm-hmm. things, and you both too. But he was who I was talking to about it, because while it was very exciting and fun, and I was like, wow, I'm in this place where like I'm really doing the dating thing, and mm-hmm. like who would have thunk? Just because if you look back at the way we were talking in the fall and winter, it was like it seemed so far-fetched that I would feel this comfortable kind of doing the thing, right? Mm-hmm. And while that feels fun, I was also like, God, I feel like I'm doing something wrong also, because it feels like I'm cheating on my dates. You know, this feeling of like I'm coming in and I'm being over here super present 100% with you, and then two or three days later I'm doing that with someone new, and like I get that that's like what you do and it is dating. But yeah. Like it was feeling a little heavy just occasionally, but yeah. just enough to go like, okay, so a decision would have to be made, or like,
do you now want to know why that's happening? Because you are romanticizing the future with each individual person. So you're giving them much more space in your heart than they have allowed for them, or they have earned. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, because they could do the same thing.
You're enjoying your time with them, and you're thinking, oh, I really like this person. Oh, but I feel bad. There's no reason to feel. You are not dating this person. You are not exclusive with this person. You are meeting this person. You are meeting this person to see if you guys click, if you vibe. And that takes time. If anyone saw that, if anyone saw you on another date and got upset about it, that would be someone that I, in my opinion, don't think that you should really pursue. If someone, you know, I've dated some guys that knew I was like, you know, I was like dating other people, and they're like, yeah, I mean, we're all doing that, right? And I was like, okay, this seems like, you know, but it is, because when we start to hang out with someone and we're like, okay, I could see the house in the Hamptons with this guy, you start to give them that monogamish thing in your head, and you're like, ooh, then I feel bad. And it's like, you don't need to feel bad about anything, as long as you're honest. If they were to ask like, are you dating anyone else, you'd be like, yeah, I'm going on dates. That's all you have to do. You just have to show up as you, and they just have to show up as them, like without any kind of baggage that you're putting on them or they're putting on you.
Expectation. You know, it's kind of smacking me in the face with like, why, you know why I do that? I know like whose fault it is, and it's both of yours. It's because of you two. It's because Juan falls so hard for the men, and he's just like, I just want to like be loved and blah, 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 blah. And so I have enjoyed the storytelling from both of you in the way that you are both hopeless romantics, which is so LOL that you're giving me the prescription, this different prescription now, mm-hmm. because I took a little bit of that on, and I think it was good for me. You right. know, I'm making a joke.
But just because you like, that's the thing. We're all that way. That's not an Ian thing. That is, we are all building the fairy tale. But I'm saying, you're like, no, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine.
I'm special.
We're all building the fairy tale, but it's also nice to watch a Disney movie and know that those are Pixar toys and they're not real. You know what I mean?
But you know, I was doing that. I was doing this, like, how would this feel? Could I possibly, like, the imaginings of a future, how would that look like stuff? Like, that to me feels like what we should be doing.
You should be romanticizing the moment that you're in. The way that he says, yes, I have been looking for you. That's what you romanticize, what's happening in the moment, not the fact that maybe you could get a golden doodle and that would be really cute for the Christmas card. Like, yes, that's all and well, but you're putting your focus over there instead of right in front of you, because you don't even know if he likes dogs yet.
To be clear, go. What, Juan?
Yeah. You haven't said, were you doing that?
That's what I'm saying, is to be clear. And first of all, again, that is your brush. You're like, golden dude. I'm like, do I need
No, I'm not saying you, but I'm saying.
No, I know. But last week, you're like, I just, for the world, on our private conversation, Johnny was like, I see the Hamptons house. It's coming. I'm
bitch,
telling
you. Bitch, you see the Hamptons. Don't fucking play with me. You see the Hamptons house.
I'm thinking about rent. I'm thinking about the present monthly rent. Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
You don't have dreams of a home that you could have people over and bed and breakfast
very, you know, Johnny, I'm being very, very serious. I do really think that that is how you think. And so you imagine in that way. And if I'm being completely honest, when you ask it of me, I'm like, oh yeah, okay, so if I had to, it would be this. Like when we did the episode and you were like, what's your dream house? And I literally came up with it in that moment. But mm-hmm. me by myself, and maybe this is something I need to work on. Maybe I do need a 3 or 5 year plan, even though I kind of like being spontaneous. And that's kind of sort of the vibe of me. You know what I mean? If you date me, it's like you never know what you're going to get, you know, mood wise as well. What?
I think we're kind of splitting hairs on something here.
Yeah.
He is using the metaphor of the house as what it is. It's like it could be the house. But I'll tell you what I think yours is, Ian.
Love it.
I think yours is the fantasy. Like your version of that is like, you know, we're being perceived as a couple. Like your version is like, oh my God, it's them. It's Ian and X. Like they're here. Like, you know,
the idea.
And Walter. It's Ian and Walter. You know, like walking down a, like being seen, like walking down Hudson, you know, but down by Hudson Yards together. And the idea of that, like that is a little bit more of your version of the fantasy. Yours is perhaps. And he's saying the House of the Hamptons as an example.
Hold on. We are not going to gaslight Johnny Sibley right now, because if there's one thing about me, I take notes. When people tell me things, I listen. So when you tell me I was at this person's house and I love the way their coupledom is and the way they host people and the way they do this, the House in the Hamptons is a framework.
Oh, it's a direct reference.
It's a framework for what Ian Padgett has told me. When I've seen Ian Padgett go to other people's homes and be like, oh, isn't this beautiful? This would just be so nice to live in. I am taking the words that have been given to me and I am forming a beautiful future for you based on what you have presented to me. Sure, it might not be the Hamptons. It might be P-Town. It might be the south of France. I don't know, bitch. But it is something that that you see for yourself that I'm just saying, just reminding you, this is what you want.
And I am so, I have to say, like, very grateful that I have friends that are my, like, human living, like, encyclopedia archive. Because here's the thing, is, like, I'm not saying I didn't say those things, but, like, you say them and you're like, oh, yeah, like, this. And then you just kind of, like, a rocket of desire, you let it go away. And, like, I'm thinking about something else. You know what I mean? So thank you for reminding me. Thank you for reminding me that I have said those things. And
on June 7th.
Yeah. So if anyone could tell, Johnny Sibley's a Virgo, by the way.
Yes. For real.
And the Virgo is Virgoing right now.
Yes.
But and going back to what you said earlier about how, and I, that is true. I'll speak for Juan Torres Falcon. I'll speak for myself that I fall fast. I'm not afraid of commitment. If I like someone, like I like them.
Yeah.
It's very, very fast. And I think that when you're dating, and it's important to not, you know how like people often attribute like human characteristics to a dog? Mm. They'll be like, oh, my dog, you know, he hates it. Uh-huh. He hates it when it's cold. He hates it when it's cold. It like it makes him anxious. I'm like, no, he just doesn't like it because it's cold. It's not a human. You're putting upon like a human idea. He hates it when we fight. Like it's yeah, he might because he's reacting to like the noise and the energy. But he's not like, oh, these bitches are fighting again. It's like it's like let the dog be a dog.
Yeah.
Let the first date be the first date. Let those first dates be the first date. But it is okay. I push back on the idea that I think it is important to have a little bit of daydreaming about what could be. I think that's important. Yeah. Maybe you don't have to go full Juan Torres Falcon. But I think it served me well in my time. Because I take a yes until it's a no. So I work from a place of like, we're moving forward. I like you. You like me until I get notification of another kind of intention.
Mm. Yeah.
And would you say that because that's also the thing when we say like it's a yes until it's a no, but I feel like in this day and age, no's come in very different shapes and forms. So do you feel like when you, before you gave him the, okay, cool, what does that have to do with the plans that we're making? Were you picking up on a no before it was a ghost?
Yes, a little, for sure. And but then I thought, instead of retreating and like backing out of the conversation, I was like, I want to hear it from the horse's mouth. I was like, I'm going to try this one more time, because technically I got a lot of context. I got a lot of doing this and such into Sunday evening. And I was like, okay. And I was like, okay, so he just gave me like his day and didn't answer what I had originally asked. And so kind of like por gusto, I came back with, okay, well, thank you so much for sharing those plans. Exclamation point.
Does that mean? She's yelling.
What does that mean about you and I hanging out? Question mark. And maybe that's a little zesty, to quote Juan, but I also had nothing to lose, because I was like, oh, if you're treating me like this, then I'm going to be my most on the spectrum, direct ADD Ian self, which is very actually like me, because here's the thing. I did it and I felt so okay with the clarity I was seeking and the clarity with which I spoke. And so no matter what, if you see that text thread, you're like, oh, this person was asking for clear answers. And you left him on read, and that's on that. So learned a lot, and
Well, wow. Well, I'm glad. And when you said that, what did he say or not say?
He didn't say anything.
Nothing ever, but like ever?
Yes, correct.
You take that knife, girl. You just twist.
Yeah, he's.
He didn't answer. Did he answer?
No, he didn't.
Not eventually? Not ever? Not ever, ever, honey?
He didn't.
Not a few days?
Well, he's going to write after this, I'll tell you that.
Oh, no. I'm sure he doesn't listen to that. Who knows?
He might not, but guess what? Some people do. Some people do.
But I did a really good job.
Put the pieces of the puzzle together.
And here's the thing. I want to express that, like, I hope hearing this to our listeners, that you do kind of hear something that was helpful. You go, not going to do that. You know, even if it's don't do anything I did, you now know that this story can happen. It can go this way. And so you
this
can be
too,
like,
it could happen to you.
It could happen to you.
It could happen to you. It's very that. So if in some way my Carrie Bradshaw dating story has informed your next dating life decision, then
please like and subscribe.
Exactly. It will have been worth it.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, I mean, Johnny, you're obviously in a relationship now, but you know, Juan, if you were going on one, are you going on?
But you act like I've never been on a date.
No, but I was just going to say, like, because
you're not actively dating.
Correct. And like, because of the conversations we've been having, you wouldn't be putting into practice this, like, you know, what's your dating style up front, you know, for the first couple dates. And so after some of our conversations, Juan, like, is there one, has there been any new dates situation?
So there really hasn't been. I was dating a guy like last year, spring, you know, spring, summer, fall, joggers.
Joggers.
I was dating someone last year.
Oh, damn it. That was a reference.
Yeah. Housewives.
spring, summer.
I know what that is. Atlanta talking about a line, and they asked her was it at the reunion?
Correct. Yay.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
Ding, ding,
yes,
ding, yes, ding. Yes. So we were. I was dating him for, you know, probably 6 months, and then I started dating another guy earlier this year, and then that kind of fell off. A couple other guys, and those kinds of both kind of fell off. And I recently decided that I have, since I broke up with my ex, I have been kind of ready for the next relationship. But I dated a lot when we first broke up, like, you know, more like your style, that this, like what you had last weekend, like, you know, dates, a lot of first dates, a lot of like
getting to know you.
Yeah, getting to know you fast, getting to not know you, but see you. a lot of a bull in a china shop, just kind of coming in, dating, first date, no more dates, maybe four more dates, whatever, just a lot of fun. But but my through line has been really wanting to date. But at the beginning, I was kind of just using the backlog of Instagram crushes and people that, oh gosh, my necklace, it fell off. Instagram crushes and just going through a Rolodex of people that maybe I wanted to go out with. I wasn't like on the apps or being really aggressive to kind of expand my dating horizons. And I think it's time for that. So my goal in this little bit of a next chapter is to kind of date aggressively in the way that you have been, Ian, like definitely, but to do so by meeting people in new ways. So that's dating apps, but also I'm trying to expand my social horizons. I'm trying to expand my social horizons. And here's my point on that. So you know how you say when you are, this is like a trope that people say when they're in their late 20s or in their 30s, they're like, oh, I have enough friends, girl. I don't need any more friends. Like, you know, especially when they break up with someone and they're like, are you going to be friends? Like, I don't need any more friends. Well, I want more friends. I have so many friends. I have amazing friends. I have been so blessed, honestly, and throughout my life to have like just the best people in my life. And meaningful, deep, caring friendships. But I want new friends. I want more friends. I want to enter new social groups, which will hopefully expand the people that I'm meeting. Because I want to tap into the resources that have that have been up until now kind of left untasted. Yeah. So, and what that means, I'm going to try to like go on a few weekend vacations with kind of new gay groups and new people, because I just want to be on the scene in a new way. And I think that that will be really helpful. Not that I'm not afraid of the dating apps. I'm going to get back on them. I'm going to do them soon and really kind of do that aggressively. I've been researching. Ian invited me to a new dating app that I'd never heard of before.
Oh, yeah.
Called
Surf,
which is, listen to the premise. The premise is it's through your friend groups. I have to do more research on how it works, but like you input your interests and your college. It's almost like what Facebook wanted to be a long time ago, where it's like it makes like little networks and it tries to connect you with people who are within these umbrellas.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that because I haven't even, you know, put in my name in it yet. But I'm going to try to do that. And my goal is to have some freshness in not only the people that I'm interacting with, but the people that I'm dating.
That's great. I do love that, like, your zest for wanting the new, like, your, that just feels so, so nice to hear, because I don't know if you guys have felt this, but like, and kind of speaking to your point, I love having many, many different groups of friends, like from like my theater friends to my friends who live in LA to like, I have these like groups and subgroups and subgroups and and I really like that because I have a friend for every mood. And depending on how I want to feel, I can go hang out with that person. No, but correct. And there is something to kind of like when you're in a relationship, I wish they didn't know as much as they knew about me, but I know you've said that before, Juan, of like, you know, I wish my ex didn't know what all that he knew of me.
So yes, there exactly. Was, you know, I have said that.
And can you?
I've said before that I wish I could have unburdened my ex of all. No, I sometimes with my ex, I always thought that he knew too much about me. I wish that I could have kind of placed a little bit of unknowingness about me, a little bit of mystery.
And tell me if I am misintuiting this, but like when I hear that's not a glitch. That would be a feature in the way that you would hope that you would see me with new eyes, said person, said ex. Like, so you're not bringing in old experiences all the time to like this specific moment happening here. Is that kind of like why you would bring that up or say that?
Well, in the context of my ex, it was about the health of our relationship. But in the context of this, and what we're talking about, like in kind of branching out and having new friend groups and having new people that don't know too much about me, it's not about creating a persona and lying about who I am.
Of course, of
course. It's about people meeting me at 37 years old in the context of my coconut tree today.
Yes.
My friends who I've known for 20 years, they know me in the context of the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And the baggage of all of that is at the tip of their tongue.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So
then when I hang out with them and I hang out with the friends who are in, if I did meet new people through them, it's in the context of that. So I'm trying to hang out with new gay people so that when I meet their friends to potentially date or not date or whatever, it's I can present them with who I am today and share only what they need to know of now.
And also you would be growing from that moment, like you're the bubble of Juan, like, but you know, because of this new interaction, you would also be changing in that moment. You're not just going to be the frozen Juan of 27 plus years showing up with like who you are on that day, because as you interact with them, you know, you go to the beach and they're like, we're gonna play volleyball. You're like, I've never played volleyball before. And then they're like, it's okay, come on and play. And then like, no one knows how to play. And then all of a sudden, like you're building this amazing moment of connection with like these new people and you're all playing volleyball for the first time. And now all of a sudden you play volleyball, and that couldn't have happened. Or maybe not couldn't have, but who's to say that that wouldn't have happened in with other friends, but it's happening now. And it will only make the atom that is Juan get bigger. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. It'll be a point of expansion.
Yeah.
To put a finer point on it with an example, I was out with a friend and he introduced me to one of his friends, a new person who I thought was really cute. And I thought the vibes were kind of right. In the introduction, he asked, oh, how do you guys know each other? Like the guy who I thought was cute asking me and one of my dear friends how we know each other. And in that description, there was so much baggage put onto it.
Okay, like an example?
It was, you know, he was like, oh, well, you know, like I've known Juan since college. And it was in the subtext. It wasn't in the language. It was in the way that he talked about me. It was burdened by what has been. It was burdened by everything. And even the way he talked about my ex, I was like, oh, this is like, it's already setting us up for failure. Like,
but you exist in the context of what stands before you and all that came before. So even if that were to change and they didn't know that up front, they would know that eventually. I'm not saying that they should know your whole life story right in the beginning, but that is, you know, it's gonna come out if, you know, like at some point.
Of course, of course, of course. And that is fair. This is not about putting on a show and lying to someone and creating a facade as to who I am. It's really just about
the comfort, you know, for you in
yes.
feeling a sense of abandon of like, this is me now. Like, not the J, you know, you're not getting the J-Lo whole story. You're just getting the new version, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get that. Yes. I get that.
Maybe this is it's so interesting how anytime someone speaks like, and I start to go like, oh, it's, don't do it because it, like, let me explain. When you were speaking about how there was subtext there and like how it was kind of setting us up for failure, my initial thought is like, why do you think that of the information being shared? Like, what if it's not glitches? Again, I say this a lot. Like, what if the feature is the history you have, and that all of that context that came before you that makes you the Juan that you are, and the person in front of you goes, wow, this person has like lived, or maybe they sense it and it's actually something they like, because they go, oh, this person has substance to them. There's, you know, like you have, you've lived life. You've loved many loves. You've had deep emotion. Yeah.
I think what he's saying is that he wants to be the captain of that ship.
I mean, I get that.
You know, because like, and he, like, I'll give you an example. Like me and Ian will go to a party and I'll be doing my Johnny bits, and Ian will be like, there she goes. She's doing her, you know. And I'll be like, what the, please. Like, and vice versa. Like, you know, there's moments where I'm like, there goes Ian. And it's like, there's that it's the knowingness of my sister sees me. I know what you mean. But it's also like, let me fucking do my thing. And let me be new, this funny, cute girl that, you know, pixie girl, dream girl for these people that don't know that that's just me, bitch. Like,
let me be new.
Yes.
Let me change. Let me evolve.
I say this a lot with recently in the last couple weeks, specifically with, I have my friends, Rob and Dan, who, when we go out sometimes, like, I love going out with them. They're my dearest friends. You both know them. Oh, and there's this way that we are with each other. And when we're around other people in big groups, and then I feel like what I start to notice is, oh, I wish they weren't here right now, because I would be a new me. I would be the newest me in this moment. And sometimes there have been moments where, like, I've gone out and not been with, and, you know, you could substitute them with just like other friends in general, and you would be surprised at how much more one you can be when you kind of go exploring by yourself, or you do something different that doesn't have these friends that really know you. And, like, you know, first things like, or I'm thinking about, are like traveling alone, or like going to spaces by yourself. Like, when I was in LA, it was like the year or two in, COVID was still kind of a thing, and I went to a pool party that a friend of mine now, who I didn't know at the time, was like, oh, like, we're going to this party later tonight, you should come. And like, I bought a ticket for me and Johnny. Do you remember this, Johnny? And you're like, I'm not going. Do you remember this?
Yes.
And I bought it, and I thought, like, well, if I just kind of say, like, here we go, like, we're going to, and you didn't want to go. And that was great. And I went anyway.
Yeah.
And what happened was, I went to this party. I think it was like, I don't even remember, like, not, somewhere downtown. It was like the Pride party of that weekend. And I met up with the guy who told me he was going. And we, like, walked into kind of like his friend group. And they were like, oh, are you here by yourself? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, work. Okay, work. Like, you know, there was a moment of like, blink, blink. And then it was, we got over that. And that group, by the way, are now my dearest friends in LA. That is Alex Newsom. That's Chris Gernon, Flavio, Juan's favorite. Mm-hmm. And like, those people are the people that are my group, my friends. And that, again, I will never say that couldn't have happened if, but that happened in that way because I pushed past fear of going and what it looks like to be by yourself, and, you know, and I won. I got 4 or 5 great new friends from that experience. So all this to say, for anyone listening to, like, do things by yourself. Don't always follow the herd that you've created, that you love. Like, it's good to go and explore and kind of be like alone.
You know, not to, you know, toot my own horn, but, you know, I have been doing that for quite some time. And I will say, I am very here for that journey, Juan. I remember almost this time last year when I went to ACL in Austin. Right before we started the podcast.
Yeah.
And I was in a group of Austin boys, and it was people that I kind of knew, some that are like, one, Joseph was a friend of mine. And I was just in this group, and I thought to myself, I am having the most amazing time, and I barely know these people, and I feel taken care of. I feel like a part of a little group, and I feel like it is possible to branch out. It is possible to shake things up. It is possible, you know, not the gays don't move to a new city to escape all the but, you know, even if you go to a different party uptown, like, you know, or like a charcuterie board night at, you know, in Brooklyn, you never know who you're going to meet. And Ian does that a lot. I think he's doing it a lot too now because he just moved back, and, like, you know, things have changed.
There are stones unturned, but yes, I definitely need to do that.
It's so fabulous because you really don't, you never know who you're going to meet. And it's not even about, like, meeting your person. It's just about meeting the people that will color your life and your day.
Yeah, correct. And in turn could introduce you to a whole new thing.
Exactly.
A whole new world.
Yeah. 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 And I have to start, not to sound mean, I mean, I love my friends, but you are all just so beautiful. Literally beautiful. You're too beautiful. I'm not going to meet someone hanging out with y'all.
Get out of here.
People are too hot. I need a little bit more of a medium group.
No. Everyone you hang out with is like, oh, are we the medium group?
I'm not going to, we could laugh that off, but like, Juan, I know like you're being like, funny, serious, but like, I know what you mean.
Exactly.
Exactly. And let's not, let us not pretend how that works. And like, that is why you are, I get what you're saying. And
yeah. No, I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm sorry, your beauty is nothing to sneeze at. You know, we're all.
No, that's not what I'm saying either.
No, but like, no, I know. But... You know what I mean? Like, it. I don't know. I feel like there's a crayon for every box. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there is. There is. But am I hanging out with the right boxes?
Set. The right set. Yeah.
Some of these boxes are a little bit picky.
Oh.
They only want certain kind of crayons.
Oh, girl, listen. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
I get it because, honey, with this face and, so, you know, the girls still don't want because the body's not giving what the girls with the ugly faces and bodies have. Like, you know, not all of us have both.
And
that is okay. What? And that is okay.
And you know, yeah. And that's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's that. But, you know, the last point I'll make on this, and then we have to go, is that one thing that came up recently is, and I may have shared this with you, I think I shared this with you separately. I was here with Andrew Chappelle and in the apartment, and we were talking about how I was triggered by my slightly just, you know, it was my exes, we would have been our like decade anniversary a couple weeks ago during Pride weekend. I was like, oh, you know, it's just like Pride weekend always makes me think of him being a little bit triggered. He goes, well, you know, that's Scott, you got to think about that, see why you're triggered by it. And I was like, well, I'm just triggered by it because it's been 10 years and I'm just remembering that moment. But it's really not, you know, I mean, I feel like I'm in a good place. It's not like I feel defined by the relationship. It's not like I walk into a room and it's like, oh, you know, Juan, he's not been the same since they broke up, or like, you know, it's like, you know, since he lost his partner, he's not been the same, right? Like someone died or something. Mm-hmm. And I said it just like that. And he goes, are you sure it's not kind of like that? You do feel very different, you know, energetically. I think you have to think about how you move through the world differently since then and what you're still carrying in every space that you enter and how you talk about that time in your life and everything else. And I think I had done a lot of healing. And I think in, you know, after you've been single for a while or not, we shouldn't say single because I've been dating and stuff, but you know, not in a relationship, which is something that I really wanted, you regress a little bit. Some of that baggage, you pick back up along the way. You pick it up at baggage claim and you take it with you for the next part of the journey, even though you thought you had left it at home. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's something that is also a part of this process, this process of unburdening.
Yeah. You have to
is meeting new. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's thinking about getting the chance to make new first impressions.
Yeah.
And Kamala, honey, are on the road to be unburdened by what has been. Get that coconut. Get that coconut.
My coconuts. Can you imagine if she walked out to that?
That would be, you know, amazing.
Ridiculous.
I want to say one thing that, because I really loved, Johnny, you had just, and I know we're over, but what you said about like when you're with your friends or like when you and I have gone out and like you're doing your bidding and then I'm doing my bidding and this is like, oh, let me do my bidding. I have never felt like you, first off, I just like love that I have never felt that you ever want, like never want me to do my bidding. And I hope that I have never been like that to you. And for listeners, like while we're saying first, you know, having that first impression with new people is amazing and like go grow your community. Mm-hmm. There is something really beautiful. And I hope that we all kind of like realize how lucky we are to have the friends that
that know us,
that know us, and mm-hmm. and how nice that is, and to do your bits anyway, because absolutely. If it turns into
if it turns into
you're here, I can't be that person, then that's
not fun.
That's not fun. Like be that person. Like be the person, because guess what? Your friend who knew you will go, wow, I work.
Absolutely. I mean, I see it all the time. Really, and like funny. Usually when I'm with like someone else like Will or something and we see you doing bits, I'm like, there she goes. It's very like a knowing, it's like a knowing thing of like, there's my girl. There's the one I know. You know, like it feels very, it is so nice because it feels like I know I'm clued in on something that all these other new bitches don't even know.
They like, about to learn.
Yeah.
Here's the thing is the first impression. And this is, wow, this is going into a lot around like when you said Ian's really good about doing that. And I was going to make a joke actually about how I think I have this kind of toxic relationship with needing to be special and how like being new is helpful for me. It just, I like the feeling of that. But there's because I think when people really know you, it's so beautiful, but also very vulnerable because they're seeing you try out a new you. And that sometimes it's like when you go in for a casting director who you've never met and you kind of like take more risks because they're like, oh, well, they don't know me. So like I can go in and be this actor today. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's like when you go in for someone who has seen your entire career span and you're having to go in there and like change their mind, that can be a little harder for me to do sometimes, right?
But that has to do with the way in which you see yourself, because if you're constantly if you're showing up as a new character, or you know, not, I'm just using the casting analogy.
Yeah,
but if you're showing up like, okay, this person I'm gonna win over, I'm gonna show them this, I'm gonna try a new flavor on for these people, but you can do, but you also have to know that even if the casting director does know all of your work, that's something you should be fucking proud of, that you should walk into that room like, yeah, of course you've seen me do all of that. And yes. I'm throwing on this new scarf of a different layer that you haven't quite seen yet.
Yes. That was very, oh my God, that was very helpful. That was
mm-hmm. like wow, what you've I done before that. Is what
is great.
Got mm-hmm. you into yes. this moment. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Rather than I wish you didn't know that. It's
correct.
No, I'm here because you know that.
Be proud of your work, bitch.
Yeah. 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 That's exactly right.
Wow. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Juan, be proud of the story, even if you're not the one telling it in that moment, but you have a friend, because guess what? All of your friends love you. And so when they're talking about you, just know that the thing that you're afraid of that's happening is in your mind.
Yeah.
Is in your mind. Helpful. Just, you know, helpful. It's just like, remember that. It's like, it's not the friend, but it's, those are your inner workings. And so like, mm-hmm. be a little kinder to yourself. Love the Juan you are and the Juan that you will be.
And,
Johnny.
Yeah. And just after that, if you feel uncomfortable, you turn to that new person and you say, and I'm here.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness. Well.
Wow.
We love you.
We love you so much.
This we love going. You. We love us.
Let's see. Let's see who Kamala chooses to be her VP.
Oh my God, that's exciting. Mm-hmm. I hope it's Kim Kardashian.
No, oh my God.
Can you imagine?
Oh my God. Just give it to Kim K.
Courtney.
Oh. My God.
Kamala and Courtney. Oh my goodness. We love you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Mwah. Bye. Mwah.
Qué rico.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.